The theme running through our readings this morning is the theme of prayer. In the first reading, we have Abraham interceding for the innocent of Sodom. The reason why he's doing that, he knows the Lord is threatening to wipe out the city, and his nephew Lot is in the city with his family, so he's interceding for him. And in the gospel, Christ teaches us about perseverance in prayer. You know, to keep knocking on your neighbor's door until he gives you what you're asking for. Same thing with prayer. Keep persevering in prayer before our Lord. Prayer, I think, takes a lot of faith. It takes faith to believe that prayer actually works. For an atheist, it doesn't make any sense at all. It's a complete waste of time to just sit there and talk to yourself, thinking that somehow that's going to change, you know, how things are in the world. It would be ridiculous. Even for some people who believe in God, they don't believe in the power of prayer. They say, well, are we really going to change God's mind? You know, do we really think that we can change how God is interacting with the world? But when we look at what prayer is interceding before God himself. And we hear in the book of Revelation that our prayers ascend like incense before the throne of God. And the prayer has power, not because we can force God's hand or change God's mind. But the reason why prayer has power is because God desires us to pray to him. He wants us to turn to him like children turning to their father, asking him for the things that they need. He wants us to do that. And so he rewards us generously when we pray. You know, prayer isn't always answered instantly the exact way that we want it to. It's not like there's some vending machine in the sky. You know, you put in your prayer and you get what you want back. You know, it doesn't quite work that way. But prayer always has value, and it always works. But God will give us good things that we need. He's not going to give us anything harmful. So if we're praying to get rich, you know, he may not answer that prayer because that may not be for our true benefit. So how powerful is prayer? The patron saint of priests is named St. John Vianney. He once said that a pure soul can ask everything from God, even miracles, and God will refuse him nothing. That a pure soul can ask everything from God. In 2002, there was a girl by the name of Angela Baroni. She went to World Youth Day in Toronto, and she was suffering from bone marrow cancer. And Pope John Paul II was going down and praying over various people, and he said a prayer over her and made the sign of the cross before he moved on to the next person. A little while later, Angela got up and walked out of her wheelchair. And she later went to her doctor, and the doctor said, did some tests and determined that the bone marrow cancer was completely gone. You know, a simple prayer and the sign of the cross, and the bone marrow cancer left her, and she was cured. And there was another couple from Vancouver who was struggling to conceive a child. They had had three miscarriages, and out of desperation, they decided that they would make a pilgrimage to Rome. So they went and they had an audience with Pope John Paul II. And people were telling them their various issues, and they did the same. And when they told him the situation, Pope simply smiled. He made the sign of the cross over them, and he told them that they were going to give birth to a son. Several months later, she gave birth to a healthy baby boy, who's now named John Paul, of course. So makes sense. In case you're wondering, I was reading a book on miracles attributed to Pope John Paul II. So that's where those are coming from. But the point is, prayer has real power. Prayer can actually change the course of events in our lives. And prayer not only can affect us and work miracles in our lives, but it can also work miracles in families. We have a problem in this nation with the disintegration of families, marriages falling apart, and a lot of children are suffering because their families are torn apart. A family that's rooted in prayer, a family that has authentic prayer, you know, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is going to flourish. You know, the graces that are going to come and the happiness that's going to come and the love that's going to flow through their family is going to be incredible. If a family is built on solid prayer, they're going to flourish. Prayer is the answer to the disintegration of the family that we're facing in our country. And prayer can not only transform our families, but it can actually alter the course of world events. Next year, we celebrate the 100th anniversary of Fatima, when the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to three children in Portugal. And one of the things that she said to them was, pray the rosary every day in honor of Our Lady of the Rosary to obtain peace in the world. for she alone can save it. The Queen of Heaven appeared and said that the secret to obtaining peace in the world is to pray the rosary. One of the girls, Jacinta, said she died soon after the apparition. She said that God has placed peace in Mary's hands, and it is from the Immaculate Heart that men must ask it. And so God, in his providence, could grant peace to the world in any way that he chooses. And he chooses to place it in the hands of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That this simple prayer of the rosary, a simple prayer meditating upon the events of the life of Christ, is what will actually bring peace to the world. You know, Mary also gave us the secret to avoiding World War II. And people didn't listen. And so the world was plunged into another great war. But I think what we can see from this is that Mary has promised us that a simple prayer like the rosary can bring peace and transform the world. What does it look like in the world when not enough people are praying? Well, I think that's a world that when you open the newspaper, you hear about police killing innocent people. And people assassinating police officers. When you hear about terrorist attacks and innocent people getting slaughtered. When you wake up every day and you wonder what's going to be in the newspaper that day. That's a world where not enough people are praying. Now, our nation, I think, by turning away from God, by large numbers of people leaving the practice of the faith and not praying anymore, has chosen a very deadly path. No politician can save us from the path that we're on. It's not within the power of a politician to save us. We should never underestimate the darkness and the evil that human beings are capable of achieving if we turn away from God. All we have to do is look at history and find countless examples of the evil that human beings can achieve. But we can also see the power of prayer and the goodness and the light and the love that can come into the world through prayer. But the thing about prayer is, prayer doesn't work if nobody's praying. You know, you got to pray. You know, that's the secret. And, you know, it shocks me. I've used this statistic before, but every time I see it, it shocks me. Over 90% of Catholics leave the practice of the faith by the time they're out of college. You know, 90% of Catholics leave the faith. And I think we've perhaps taught our young people all too well the divinity of sports. And the great commandment, thou shalt never miss a practice or a game. I think we've taught that pretty well to our young people. But what about the divinity of Jesus Christ and the commandment to keep holy the Lord's Day? I taught in Catholic high schools for 6 years, and again and again and again, I saw examples of young people that wouldn't dare miss a single practice because their coach would get mad and probably put them on the bench or kick them off the team. They wouldn't dare miss a sports practice, but they wouldn't hesitate to blow off Sunday Mass because the parents had instilled in their children a deep love for sports, but they did not have love and conviction for Jesus Christ. And I think that's an epidemic in our culture. But what are sports going to do for our children? What is it going to do for our future if our nation plunges into anarchy and evil comes into our world and our families are disintegrating? And if we lose our salvation, what good is making a few free throws going to do for our children? And I think it's important for us to reevaluate our priorities, especially in the family, because the family is where prayer has to be instilled, and the family is where the faith is passed on from generation to generation. Everything begins with the family. And so I think it's important for us within our families to reevaluate what our life of prayer looks like. Are we praying together as a family? Because our families, our church, and the world is in desperate need of prayer. Are we doing that within our families? So I encourage you, if you want peace in the world, as the Blessed Virgin Mary promises us, if we want peace, if we want reconciliation within our nation, if we want to change the course of world events and bring peace, if we want harmony within our families, and if we want eternal life, maybe it's time we forget sports. They're not all that important. Maybe it's time we turn off the television and turn to prayer. It's a matter of priorities. You know, we have time to do all sorts of other things. But oftentimes prayer gets shelved, and that's the last thing that we think about. But there's time to do it. If we commit to it, you know, we can do it. And so I encourage each one of you within your families to evaluate what your life of prayer looks like and heed the words of our Blessed Virgin as she announced to Fatima almost 100 years ago, to start praying the rosary together as a family every day.